Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Better than that. Down the line, it'll be a two-bagger for Koss, and coming in to score is Lee.
I think he's one of the best fastball hitters on this Giants team.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Was a three-hour bore, a three-hour bore. That's what Giants games are, a three-hour bore.
Shut up.
Okay.
It we is should the take calls and try and figure out just where it is that Pasta goes, where his mind goes with Gilligan's Island, and try and play the association with the San Francisco Giants.
I like that he even pulled Gilligan's Island out of his mind there. I love that. I mean, that was like 300 years before he was born.
Gary, Indiana. Which
already,
is the,
I don't even know how to respond to that one. Gary, Indiana.
What famous singing group is from Gary, Indiana? Come on.
Ooh. Do we have the game show music?
Is this the Jackson 5?
Wow. He is money.
Pasta from the top rope. Wow. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. That was Steven Rizzotto with the great Jackson 5. Really, I did not know that they were from Gary, Indiana.
Oh, yes.
Of all the places.
Oh, where Dad was beating the crap out of every one of them.
Oh, that's very... Okay, that's very unfortunate. A lot of unfortunate there. Zach Green, he's also on the scene. He's producing this show. Dan Devone to my left here. I am Sam Lubman. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. And shout out to all those who are watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at dealer. YouTube chat's been popping all morning long. Damon Chang, Skills, TG, Estimated Eyes, No. I see you guys there. You've all been killing it all morning long. No, man. He has just been leading the chat this morning. One of our stars in the chat. Why go out to the lines here, though? 888-957-9570 is the number. Drew in San Jose, I left you on hold for far too long, Drew. Please forgive me, but what's going on with the Giants, man? How did it get to this point?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. I have so many things to get off my chest. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. Like, first of all, like, and I called the morning roast earlier this week, and I mentioned the same thing. The foundation of this team just downright sucks. Like, it stinks to high hell. And I mean, like, in March and April, we were talking about, like, you know, this team was having a really great spring training and a really great first month of the season. They were really like building a house on a faulty foundation, and they've been doing this for the past 3 years, actually. And the thing is, like, when you build a house on a faulty foundation, the house looks great for the first month because there's no earthquake, there's no weather, there's no storm. It looks great, right? But then when that earthquake hits, like, how does your house withstand that? Like, but houses like the Dodgers and the Padres, like, they've had, like, every team goes through ups and downs in a 162-game MLB season. But whenever that happens to the Giants, they just never seem to be able to recover. And that's why we've seen the team that we've seen over the past 3 years. And you asked a question about which player you would amnesty, and I think we're all in agreement. It's between Chapman and Devers. But you can make an argument for any of the three players that you mentioned, and isn't that part of the problem? Like, are we really going into this thinking that those are our core three going forward? Like, I sort of harken back to 2007 when the Giants signed Barry Zito, right? And we thought that that was a disaster of the contract that was going to set the team back years and years. But what ended up happening was that the Giants' core became Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, Posey, and it did not include Barry Zito. And Barry Zito he did not play in the 2010 playoffs. He was able to be a supporting role in the 2012 playoffs. And like, that's what I look at those players as. I look at those players playing supporting roles more Adames than anybody else, because like you said, Adames has great leadership capabilities and he has the ability to bring the clubhouse together. But if you're Adames, like, who are you bringing together on this team exactly? And like, I'm looking up and down the roster, like Elliot Ramos, he's not fit to be a part of this team anymore. I feel this way. Like, at the bottom of, I know that he was an all-star last year, but if you cannot play the field, you're not fit to be a part of this team. Like, if you're a San Francisco Giant, you need to be able to play defense, okay? And I've just been so disappointed with Elliot Ramos going forward. Like, Jung-Hoo Lee, grandson of the wind, how many steals do you have this year? Is it less than 10? You need to be stealing bases, man. You need to be putting pressure on the base pads. You need to make the opposing team feel you. And that's what I saw in April that I'm not seeing now. The Giants made opposing teams feel them, right? And that disappeared all of a sudden. And like, and every other position other than Devers, Adames, and Chapman, for obvious reasons, I think it's up for grabs, frankly. I think Bailey's position is very much up in the air. And I think this team needs to invest in speed. They need to invest in the farm system. I know I've spoken too long, but I just wanted to get all this stuff off my chest. I think Buster Posey needs to take a good look in the mirror and say, how am I going to build a foundation of a team such that Chapman, Adames, and Devers have more background roles than the actual core of this team? It will take a couple of years to get there. I definitely think so, but I think this team will be better for it. And I think when you get to that core, that championship core, then you're not trying to get the last wild card spot every year. I feel that the Giants' goal the last 3 years was always to get the last wild card spot, right? And that shouldn't be your goal, because, yeah, my dad always told me that, like, whenever I go to school, I said, oh, I need to get a B on this test to keep my A in the class. My dad used to tell me, no, you should try to get 100% on every test. When you try to get 100%, maybe you end up with 90, but you can live with that result, right? When you go into a test trying to get 80, maybe you get 70 or 60, right? And that's what I feel the Giants' goals is, like, the goal should always be to win the division and win the World Series, right? Give yourself a foundation to do that. And I feel that the Giants' goal over the past years has been to just, like, sneak into the playoffs and then let's see what happens. That can't be your goal, because that is faulty in and of itself. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Drew, man, you were cooking on that one. That was an all-time right there. I know he said he was saying a lot.
You just cut somebody off on a Saturday?
He was still good. Man, that's a foul on Rizzo right there. Drew said a lot of great stuff there. And honestly, I think the thing that popped out there at the end was the Giants chasing that final wild card spot. And I actually agree with him, with Drew, on that one. It seems like ever since the Giants, Madison Bumgarnered their way to a title in 2014, they had this belief that if you could just snag one of those bottom wild card spots, that they have the ability to just magically run through the playoffs. And it's created this organizational philosophy, I feel like, where I'm not saying they don't want to win the division, but they're definitely just in this belief that the wild card is indeed good enough to win.
Well, don't you think the Los Angeles Dodgers have had something to do with that? I think when the Dodgers are in your division, it's almost sort of...
I mean, that's not stopping the Padres from chasing them.
Yeah, well...
I mean, the Padres, this is where my frustration of the last 9 years really, because again, it's crazy to think, Dan, 9 years and 1 month-ish ago, back in July, going into the All-Star break, the Giants had the best record in baseball. Madison Bumgarner threw a complete game shutout against the Diamondbacks on Sunday Night Baseball, and he wasn't able to pitch in the All-Star game because of it. He probably would have started the All-Star game, but he pitched that Sunday, was ineligible. The Giants had the best record in baseball that day. They were the kings of baseball. They had three titles. It was an even year. Buster, Brandon's, Bumgarner, they were all in their primes. Johnny Cueto was having a career year. Jess Marja was pitching well. Bruce Bochy was still feeling it. The bullpen was a little shaky, but on that day, on that Sunday evening in 2016, the Giants were, it was as good as it ever had been. And they have been one of the five worst teams in baseball ever since that evening. Starting with Johnny Cueto getting lit up in the All-Star game that Tuesday, it has just been a downward descent ever since then. And what's so frustrating for me as a Giants fan is that when I see what the Dodgers are doing right now, when I see how the Padres are challenging them, the Giants had an opportunity to be that team. They were on top of the baseball world, and rather than keep it going, rather than do what the Warriors did and just ruin the league and bury everyone light years behind them, the Giants more or less just let their foot off the gas and have been spending the last 9 years, 1 month, and 6 days struggling to find where that gas pedal is. Since then, you've gone through two manager changes, two front office changes. You've gone through two ownership control person changes from Larry Bear to Rob Dean to Greg Johnson. This was a team that from 2009 to 2016 was a standard bearer of stability, a standard bearer of just how you run a baseball team. They developed guys. They had approaches. They had a philosophy. They had a culture. They had an identity. And when they had a chance, they came to a fork in the road to take that to the next level. They let it just wither away. And ever since then, the Dodgers have put together a run that Giants fans would kill for. And the Padres have put together a team and a process and a culture and an identity that Giants fans would kill for. And seeing those two teams be everything that the Giants once were and once could have been and wish they could be now, it's soul-crushing to have to see. And when I hear Drew saying, I think they just want to compete for the wild card, that does get me frustrated because, yeah, I agree with him. I do feel like that's become the standard now.
What was the fork in the road?
Either keep building this team up and take it into the next level and just be a team that ruins baseball for everybody, or just fade into obscurity, which
is
what they did.
I would say to that, yeah, you want to keep building things up, but when your core gets old, which essentially happens when Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, their core back in the day, gets old and their productivity declines, it's difficult to find players, and they don't have a farm system like that of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know that it was some sort of monumental fork in the road where they decided to take the wrong path. As it is, it just happens sometimes in baseball. If you don't have the ability to replenish, buy players like that of the Los Angeles Dodgers, or build a farm system like that of LA, now that you could put on San Francisco, but I don't know that I necessarily subscribe that they settle for second or third place and are a team that aspires just to get in as the last wild card. I think when they were within four games of the Dodgers at the All-Star break, there was a sense of Buster Posey doesn't take second place. He wants to walk down the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that seemed to be the overall sentiment. For whatever reason, obviously, it's not happening. And I would also say that in baseball, unlike the other sports, I'm not saying that this is what you should. This shouldn't be your mantra every year going out of spring training. Let's just get into the playoffs. But if you do just get in, if you play your best baseball like that of Milwaukee or like that of Toronto this time or Cincinnati, that the teams that put it together down the stretch, that's who you want to be. And if it means Cincinnati, if it means you're a team that just gets in as a wild card, as we've seen in the past, you can do a lot of damage. It's about getting hot for 3 weeks of this baseball season, and that's in the postseason. And so just getting in, especially if the Dodgers are in the same division as you, which is just sort of a bad luck of the draw because that team is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, they're the Death Star.
Then I think it can be good enough.
But like I
understand what you're saying. I mean, we all want to point a finger at they made a mistake, but I think the Dodgers have a lot to do with that. And I think the Giants would have loved to keep this train going down the track, but do you trade Buster Posey a year earlier?
I don't think it's so much about making trades. I do think there was a general abandonment of kind of responsible drafting and developing. And, you know, this is where I kind of wonder sometimes, this is going way back when now, whether the run that Brian Sabian had from 2002 to 2009 in the draft, when he's starting with Matt Cain in 2002, culminating with, well, I guess 2011, with Joe Panic in that draft. You know, the Giants, they hit on so many great picks in that time. Since Joe Panic, though, in 2011, in that 2011 draft, the best player that they might have drafted might be Brian Reynolds, who is currently doing business for the Pittsburgh Pirates right now alongside Andrew McCutchen, the guy who the Giants acquired by trading away Brian Reynolds. I do think, yeah, there was a abandonment of responsible drafting strategies that took place there that could have kept the Giants' dynastic run going. Because obviously, yeah, you probably weren't going to move Buster. You weren't going to move the Brandons. You weren't going to move Bumgarner. But you still got to, kind of like what the Warriors are attempting to do right now is in terms of how they want to keep Steph Curry's career going, you got to bring young guys along to kind of help supplement your big dudes. And the Giants just overall failed to do that. And that's where it's, when I see what the Padres are doing, when they're like, you know, if the Dodgers are going to be a Death Star, we'll be a Death Star too. That's the kind of attitude I want to see. And I do see that attitude from Buster, but it is year one and you're not going to get the Death Star built overnight. I hope Buster can change that.
But I don't think you can compare San Diego and San Francisco.
Well, not right now, no. But
because you just don't have...
But that's, I think, the level you got to get to. Though.
I understand it, but A.J. Preller has an unlimited pocketbook, and also they play in San Diego, so I can go get Juan Soto. I can go make a play for Aaron Judge. I can bring in the top free agents, and yes, he was very good.
The Giants don't have deep pocketbooks either. The Giants have 30 billionaires controlling
Aaron Judge
team.
Doesn't want to play here. Shohei Ohtani doesn't want to play here. Juan Soto doesn't want to play, so they have to do it a different way. So I guess if you're comparing San Diego, they can just go out and say, "Do you want to play at Petco?"
Not a hitter-friendly ballpark either.
But it's more so than that of San Francisco. I mean, sun comes out in San Diego,
And they got the Marine Layer 2 down in San Diego.
But I think if you look and compare the two parks, I would say that San Diego is much more hitter-friendly. Although San Diego, the one thing that they haven't done this year is hit home runs, believe it or not.
Well, actually, the Padres' offense is, I think, statistically speaking, been worse than the Giants, which, again, I know that sounds crazy to say, but keep in mind, we see the Padres most of the time when they're playing the Giants, and obviously that's going to make the Padres look better by comparison. But no, overall, San Diego's offense is not spectacular. Now, they have done well for agency. Manny Machado has set a standard there. Xander Bogaerts, same thing. They did make a big trade with moving James Shields for Fernando Tatis Jr., so they've been shrewd there. I agree that the free agency thing, they got to – if San Diego can sign free agents, I'm going to say it, the Giants should be able to as well. And that becomes a – what's wrong with the pitch there? And I do wonder if the Giants are going to be more aggressive with free agent hitters going forward, because there was a time from Aaron Rowan being signed in after the 2007 season all the way to, gosh, it might actually have been Adames, where the Giants, again, that was they didn't really sign any big time position players, and they did, but the thing is they weren't really in on a lot of them. There was obviously Giancarlo Stanton, but that was after 2017. Then, of course, there was the first Shohei attempt, the Bryce attempt, the Judge attempt, all that coming at a time when the Giants were just not a very good baseball team. I do wonder if the Giants, let's say after 2012, I don't know who the biggest free agent was on the market in 2012, the biggest free agent hitter. But let's say after 2012, they went out and threw a bunch of money at the biggest free agent hitter on the market after winning a World Series. I think the Giants could have... You could make the argument the Giants maybe pull that signing off. But during that time, the Giants just did not go after big contracts because they wanted to focus their financial assets on the guys on the team, which makes sense. So This is all to say that the whole chasing of free agent hitters thing, it's tough right now. I don't think that's a thing that you should say, well, it's just never going to be a thing again. Because let's not forget, the biggest free agent hitter in baseball history, Barry Bonds, still decided to sign here. Well, it's because he's from here. He still had to sign the dotted line. It still had to come here. So it is possible.
Well, and especially when you make the analogy with that of the Golden State Warriors, is that, and I think you're going to see this going forward, is that the Warriors are headed for lean times. Because
generous way of putting it.
Yeah, because you're just going to see these players get older, which is their foundation. And you can try and find and strike lightning twice, but you're not going to find a Steph Curry in any upcoming draft, nor are you going to get a Draymond Green in the second round. And you're not going to get another Klay Thompson and or a Jimmy Butler. So what it is that you're going to have to go through years, maybe decades, sorry, Warrior fans, until you find or you stumble upon that sort of magic. And unfortunately for a team like that of San Francisco, it's Buster Posey got old, Crawford got old, Zito and all those pitchers that were so good, the Bumgarners in the world, you weren't going to move off of that eventually. Trying to replace them over time. Now, you could have said, well, we should have moved off of them a little bit sooner and keep this thing going. But it's a lot more, it's much more challenging than I think just to simply say that they chose to go in another direction. That's why the Dodgers are an anomaly. It's because they can go out and get players, they can afford to lose players, and they can afford to lose prospects because they continue to replenish
that
team. And they're a model franchise, not only for baseball, but I think for every professional sport.
Oh, unfortunately, yes. Well, they've also had the number one farm system in baseball going back to 2008, which, again, drafting and developing matters. That's why when people say the Giants should tank, I scoff at that. The Dodgers have had the best farm system in baseball for, you know, the last 17, 18 years now. And they haven't had a losing record in that time. So it is clearly possible to build a winning farm system without having to do a full White Sox, Astros, you know, Orioles-type tank job. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, I want to hear from you. Marvin in San Francisco, you're on the wrap, Marvin. What's going on with the Giants, man? How did it get to this point?
Which subject that you guys have been talking about, what the Giants should do organizationally, and I'll just say this. I'm a destiny guy. I'm also a guy who believes in baseball karma, that kind of thing. Now, the 2010 Giants were nothing like you guys have described with respect to the Dodgers and the Padres. They were last in hitting in Major League Baseball halfway through the season. They were last in home runs during two of their championship seasons. They had no superstar in 2010. They had Brian Sabian, who was bringing in washed-up players. He had a killer bullpen that he put together that saved game after game in midseason and got them going. He had contact hitters like Scudero, like the Sanchez. They had these guys. They had vets seeking career redemption. That's what they had. And they had a manager. If I've ever seen a team that needs a new manager, a new spirit, a new confidence and hope, it's this one. They have had a manager who, and I don't know, hitting coach. I watch the YouTube highlights every night of every Giant game, and you notice patterns. And what I see are Giant hitters taking balls right over the plate for striking out and swinging at balls 4 inches outside. That's paralysis by analysis as a hitter, okay? Mm. They're thinking too much. They're trying to outguess what's going to happen. See the ball. Hit the ball, look for the seams, that kind of thing. Okay, now, I'm going to give you an example of putting those two things together. Devers came up with the bases loaded when he was in the pits of his slump about maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Came up in the ninth inning or whatever with the bases loaded or eighth inning, something like that. And I said to myself, man, this guy needs a game-saving hit to save his life. He doesn't need a home run. He doesn't need a grand slam. He needs to get a hit. If I'm the manager, I go out to the guy and I say, hey, you have to give him confidence. You have to give him focus. And more important, you say, don't try to hit a home run. Make contact. Mm-hmm. Hit the ball to the opposite field. This manager, I haven't heard a word from the entire season. Now, what is the manager's job? The manager, besides picking the lineup every day, is to instill confidence and instill hope and instill fire. Now, if another thing about this team, if I've ever seen a team that needed to have a brawl, it's this one. Because every
who are you picking? Who are you picking that, for your fight here, Marvin?
In this corner or two? Kevin Mitchell. It used to be Kevin Mitchell. I came from the old days. Okay,
yeah. I remember Bonds and Kent did it too. Well, so Marvin, I'm here. If you were to pick two guys that just need to scuffle with each other, the lightest spark on this team, who?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Who are you picking?
No, I think that the Giants team, I need to see a massive
Jung Hoo Lee and Christian Koss.
You watch what happens after this team does that. They will be, all of a sudden, everything will change for them. They, like I said, it's paralysis by analysis. I would have fired this manager two months ago.
Yeah, okay? Thank you very much for the call there, Marvin. A lot of thoughts there. Love the calls this
morning.
We're
waking up the thunder today.
Giants fans are bringing it this morning. Who says Giants don't inspire callers?
I don't know what the hell they're talking about, but I like it.
Man, we're living up to the best Giants talk in the Bay moniker on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap Day. Giants fans, callers, bringing it today. Love it. Exactly, Howard Dean. We're going to wrap the show up on the other side. Are we still feeling good about this core? Is it just a manager team, this change this team needs? Or, dare I say, could Bob Melvin actually do something between now and the next 40 games that brings him back next year? Oh, man, could you imagine? That and more, all presented by Fremont Bank here for you, here for good.
Driven to right. And off the bricks, and Ramos is on the move. Koss comes in to score. It's a double. And the Giants lead 3-1.
We don't say it very often.
Now, back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, man, you seem very emotional regarding this. You know who this song reminds me of?
Who's that?
So I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard this is like a Jimmy Garoppolo song, like a song that he would play.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was more of a CNW, country and western guy.
I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know. It was, Sterling Bennett told me years ago that, yeah, this is like the Jimmy Garoppolo song or something. So now I don't know if that's true or not, but unfortunately now, every time I hear this song, it's like, oh, It's the Jimmy G song.
Jimmy G.
Yeah. Got to get a Jimmy G
mention.
We have
not heard the end of Jimmy G, by the way.
Oh, no, of course not. Oh,
there's going to be a day when Stafford goes down with that injury.
Week five.
And there he is.
Niners Rams, SoFi Thursday night. Jimmy G versus the Niners. Make it happen, football gods.
I'd like to see some more Pat Spencer in my life.
Oh, man, I want to. I don't know. I can never find that the Troy Aikman drop from the NFC title game. Against the Rams, you know, I'm afraid it's going to have to come down to Jimmy G for this one. Oh, what an all-time line. Man, this is, you know, we hated Jimmy, but we miss him at the same time, just so he could bash our heads against the wall.
My favorite is when things got so ridiculous that, remember, he was throwing on a side field all
the
by himself.
The baby field. Yep, the infamous baby field.
With nobody else, he didn't even have receivers.
I remember going to training camp. That was my first time going to training camp, I think. With the morning roast and went down there with it was Shasky and Langford that day. Bonte was off frittering around in Europe at the time, and we get there and you get over there. Trey Lance was supposed to be the guy that year, so he's taking all the one snaps, and Nathan Peterman was there, and there was this third quarterback there that no one was paying attention to. And then, but yeah, as you're walking in, you pass a little baby field, and then there's Jimmy G right there. And it's just like, aren't you not supposed to be here? Didn't you like say see ya or something? And you're out of here. And wouldn't you know it, he ends up starting for them a few weeks into the season. And the third quarterback I mentioned there was Brock Purdy.
But. Yeah, I was doing shows at night during that time, and I would play this clip every evening.
You and Shamari, right?
The Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving.
There you go. And Jimmy will never leave the Bay Area sports landscape. I'm bringing up the Niners, though. I'm bringing up Jimmy because he used to play for the Niners. And I'm bringing up the Niners because in an hour and a half, they are going to be kicking off their second preseason game against the Las Vegas Raiders down at Allegiant Stadium.
Who's quarterback in the Raiders, by the way?
It's Geno Smith is going to be starting for them. I don't know who any of their backups are right now. But, yeah, Geno Smith is the guy under Pete Carroll down there. They always got Tom Brady. They can turn to him in a pinch. But yeah, Niners, Raiders, 1 o'clock after the game, flip on 95.7 the game and hang out with Mark Grandy for a little red and gold overtime and talk about that second preseason game and the one whole snap that Brock Purdy might take today. So yeah, that's going to be today after the conclusion of the Niners, Raiders game. So again, lock into 95.7 and, talk some Niners football with the Grandy man. He's a fun guy to talk Niner football with. But we are talking Giants baseball here, and you know we're talking about just what's wrong with this team. How did it get to this point? And obviously, I think the short, easy answer for everybody is you're going to point at the manager. And for the most part, I think that is probably the safest pick, probably the most accurate pick. And I know there's a lot of Giants fans that probably think that the announcement that Bob Melvin is not going to have his job here anymore, that announcement should have happened already. I think it was, Drew wanted to have him, was it Drew or Marvin? Drew wanted him fired a couple months ago. Marvin wanted him out. The fact that it has not happened yet tells me that either Buster Posey doesn't think it's gotten that drastic yet, that they would dismiss a manager in August. Well, first off, the Giants don't usually do that. I can't remember the last. Gabe Kapler was fired before the last weekend of the series, but of the season. I think you got to go back to, you know what, if you guys could, friends in the back, 1985 season, if we can look up when they fired the manager that year. I think it was Frank Robinson that year, or might have been someone else. If you can give me the refresher there, because I think that was the last time there was an in-season, a true in-season manager
dismissal.
Well, that
was the beginning of the Roger Craig era?
And that led to the Roger Craig era, exactly. So
it was Frank Robinson.
It was Frank Robinson? Okay, when was he dismissed during that season?
1986.
It was in the 86 season then. Was it in the middle of the season or after the season?
I'm sorry, it was 86 in the middle of the season.
Middle of the season. Okay, so you got to go back to the middle of the 1986 season then to find out, summer of 86? Late fall? Can we get an exact-ish date there? Giants basically don't do this very often. There's a part of me that thinks they're just going to play out the string here with Bob Melvin, and then maybe the last week of the season that makes a move. But in the meantime, I think that also does create a potential situation where this team starts doing something that they haven't done for 3 months, which is play really good baseball, have a strong finish to the season. And is it crazy to think that there is a future in the next 40 games? If I go Dr. Strange here and I look forward, I see 14 million future outcomes. Is there a future outcome on this season, Dan, that you think where Bob Melvin basically manages himself back into the Giants' 2026 plans, and it's not like the craziest thing that's happening?
No. And the reason being is sort of what I've maintained throughout the entire show, is that 5 games is not insurmountable. Now, look, if you're the Braves, if you're the Nationals, if you're the Pirates, if you're the Rockies, you look at those teams and you're like, okay, we're not catching anybody because we have weaknesses here, here, and here. Now, the fact that we continue to do these shows and we're so mystified as to why is this team playing so poorly, and today we've taken about 35 different takes as to what's wrong with the San Francisco Giants. If you're to see the glass half full, that should tell you that actually this team still has the capability and the personnel to play well, because it isn't as though there's one area where they're just simply deficient. No, these are all good, bona fide major league players. And so there is still, now clearly it's not as likely as it once was as of a month ago, but there is still the chance of them putting together good baseball and playing to their potential. And I know that we shouldn't be surprised, and I certainly am not going to be, if suddenly, you know, Willy Adames and Casey Schmidt and Devers starts hitting the cover off the ball, and here comes Elliot Ramos, because they have the capability and they have the resume of doing this. And we know Logan Webb can pitch. Robbie Ray's been good. He gets something out of Landon Roop, and your bullpen has been hurt since the deadline, but still good enough. And so I'm not trying to, if you ever listen to me, I never try and spin things as a homer. But when you're this complex about why a team is playing so poorly, what essentially it is telling you that there's the capability that they might play much better than this. And don't be surprised if we're doing this exact same show. Now, this is what I want to hear. But you can play this drop next week. You hear me, Pasta? That if the Giants this time next week could be within 3 to 2.5 games of a wild card, and it'll change the entire complexion of our show and the season going forward.
I mean, it's theoretically possible, I guess. Let's let that happen first before we cross that bridge. But you do make a good point about the core of this team, and I think that's the other side of this coin here, because there is frustration with Bob Melvin, and Matt Chapman was asked about kind of, you know, why this team has been sliding. Last night we asked him this. He gave his answer. And I'll just play. Here's what he had to say.
Hard to say. You know, the teams we're playing, they're still good. Those are good teams. You know, we're facing good arms every day. You know, other guys on the teams that we're playing are driving in runs. And, you know, sometimes you go through stretches like that, and it takes, one big game or one big at-bat or one good outing from a pitcher to turn it around. And sometimes it takes longer than you want it to. But, you know, I think that there's plenty of guys in this room that are capable of putting together really good stretches of baseball. And we've shown it before earlier in the season. We've shown that, you know, we can hang with anybody. I think it's just a matter of us, you know, finding a way to get it stopped and get us back on track, you know, and whether that's somebody on our team getting the big hit, or, you know, shutting down an inning, whatever it is. You know, it just seems like right now we're on one of those stretches where we haven't been able to just finish it off. You know, maybe we score a lot, and then we give up a little bit more, or we don't score, and the pitchers don't give up any runs, but then we don't score. So we just haven't been able to kind of string it together.
And, again, so that's kind of what he was talking about there, and he is putting onus on the players there that, you know, maybe, you know, it's, if there is a spark, it comes from them. And he didn't go in. I don't think we have the cut here, but he was asked about, you know, what is being said about Bob Melvin. And he did say that, you know, he
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Put it on the players.
He's a big Bob Melvin guy.
Well, yeah, he's obviously played for him before, but I do like players taking that responsibility of, you know, the players do play, the coaches do coach. And the reason I do want to get into this with the players is because obviously there's the Melvin aspect. And I think everyone is pretty set in their ways when it comes to Bob Melvin. But are we still feeling good about this core, though? And because this, for better or worse, I believe is the Giants core. If you don't believe me, Larry Bear joined the Morning Roast back in June. Here's what he had to say about having this core together.
Yeah, we're excited about the fact that, not unlike in some of those years where Buster, you know, brought home championships, and even in the years when we opened the park with Barry and Jeff Kent, et cetera, we're going to have a group together for a while. You know, contractually, we have, you know, Matt Williams, stands near Matt Chapman when the Giants are up in the third base coaching box. But Matt Chapman, Willie Adames, Jung-Hoo Lee, Raffy, Logan Webb. I mean, these guys are all signed, you know, out into the future. So, you know, Elliot Ramos is, as we have years of future with him as well. So it's, you know, these are players the fans can get their arms around, players that can become leaders in the clubhouse. They're not going anywhere. And those kinds of dynamics, we think, play well. And I think, you know, frankly, have something to do with, you know, why we're, you know, off to a good start this year.
We'll see.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were off to a good start when that was said, but obviously that is not the case anymore. But you heard it from Larry. I mean, that's your core. Throw Jung-Hoo Lee and Elliot Ramos in there, too. I mean, are Giants fans still feeling good about that core right now? Probably right now, no, just because things are so dire. But overall, Dan, is that a core that you're still kind of willing to go to battle with?
I am.
I agree.
Somebody needs to point out to me what's wrong with any of those players. Now, granted, they haven't played up to, again, their full potential. But those aren't bad baseball players. Those aren't players with a lot of warts. Yeah. One thing a guy I want to do talk
None
about...
None of those players are unsalvageable, I would say.
One guy that I do want to mention is Elliot Ramos. Now, I know he's been the target, and I heard the previous call, and I've heard other people say that when you assess this baseball team, as everybody does if you miss the playoffs, I don't care who you are, you get in a room, the executives sit in a conference room, and they go through the entire roster. What do we do with this guy going forward? Elliot Ramos is not a guy that I think anybody should touch. Now, I know that this is part of the maturation process of a young player. He's got to get better in terms of paying attention to all these sort of little things that I think to this career he's been reliant on his athleticism and his ability to make contact, and he now has to be a major league. And what does that mean? It means you got to learn to play defense. It means you have to take a better angle on balls. It means you have to do your homework. Clearly, he does not look like a student as far as understanding where to be. Now, a lot of that's coaching as far as positioning. But I do think that that will come in time. But when you have a young player that went to the All-Star game, and he's been a pretty solid hitter throughout the entire season, his defense has to get better. But this is a guy that's got, like, I want to say 3 more years of team control.
4 years, I believe. Yeah.
I am not moving Elliot Ramos. That, to me, is a reactionary sort of thing that somebody in management or somebody that doesn't know what they're doing or has not been through the wars would make a mistake like that. Because I think that you can get through this period. Now, talk to me if this time next year he's still making these sort of bonehead mistakes. But what I'm seeing out of Elliot Ramos is what you see out of a lot of young players, and that is growth, right? Is that he's learning how to play this position on a day-to-day basis. And some of the minutia that maybe as a young star early on in your career you can get away with is now something that he has got to get into the lab or something that he has to work on a daily basis over the offseason. But he sure as hell isn't going anywhere if I have anything to do with it.
I agree with that. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, people were talking about potential extensions for him coming into this year. That's not happening anytime soon. What I will say with Ramos that kind of gives me optimism for him for the future is that his issues, I feel, are correctable. Like, I think we're seeing basically what he is offensively. I think we're content with what he is offensively. I don't think he's a every year all-star type guy, but he'll be dabbling around the all-star game every now and then. I think, you know, if the field wasn't so deep in the outfield as well for the National League, he'd probably have a better chance too. But again, I'm optimistic about him at the plate. Him in the field, though, is the issue. But I do believe that those are correctable issues. That is next year when you get to spring training, show up with the pitchers and catchers and get out there day one, start working on your defense, start getting better out there.
You got to do it before that.
You got to play a little bit of winter ball. Go do that and start working on your defense out there. He's got to get better on defense. Now, maybe he moves to right field. We had Dave Fleming on earlier this week. He mentioned that Ramos in right field is a potential option. I've heard whispers around the ballpark that Ramos might want to be more in right field as well. I believe when he came up, that was his natural position. So maybe that's a development to keep our eyes on here, especially seeing as right field is now open with Mike Yastrzemski gone. And Drew Gilbert, in the week that he has spent in the big leagues, has not seized that position. Again, he's 22 years old. So he's got some time there as well. So yeah, maybe that's an option there for Elliot Ramos. The other one, though, it is Jung-Hoo Lee. And this is one where I hear a lot of conflicting things on Jung-Hoo Lee. I think there's parts of this team that likes him, parts of this team that's frustrated with him. I think he's shown a lot of growing pains getting used to the big league game this year, growing pains that would have been a lot better to go through last year. I've been very adamant on that missing last year really set Jung-Hoo Lee back a lot. And I do wonder if there's, because Buster didn't sign Jung-Hoo Lee. Let's not forget that. Yep. Farhan Zaidi threw a couple Brinks trucks at Jung-Hoo Lee to bring him here, and he did have to overpay for him. I don't stress about the money all that much, but it is still a reality. And Alex Pavlovich, Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area, sometimes on Giants pre and post, he's down at the ballpark a lot. He's tapped in as anyone. He joined Willard and Dibbs on Tuesday. And here's what he had to say about the concept of buyer's remorse with Jung-Hoo Lee.
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, at the very least, he's been a fan favorite here, which they needed more of. What they probably are going to look at the end of the year is go that they probably played him too much in the first half. And that is the one thing that we don't know about him, just because we saw 37 games last year. But look, he is, we saw this with Yaz over the years. I'll go back. I remember covering Blanco. Like, Blanco was great for 2 weeks. If you played him for 2 months, at some point you'd look up and the numbers weren't there. So I do think it's maybe easy to point at the frame and go, it looks like he's worn down. But I do think he looks like he is worn down a little bit, especially at the end of the first half. And I do wonder, going into next year, if they will feel like maybe they need to find a few more days off and ways to keep him fresh.
So they don't have buyer's remorse, but based on that analysis there from Alex Pavlovich, it's not rosy either. If you're... Gregor Blanco is not a guy that Jung-Hoo Lee should be compared to. Gregor Blanco, World Series champ, forever minted as a great Giant. But, like, he was not a great hitter. I used to call it the Gregor Blanco curse. Every time Gregor Blanco came up, well, guess we're done scoring this inning. It's like coming up, it's like when the Giants come up with the bases loaded and nobody out. Well, I guess we're done scoring this inning. It's Jung-Hoo Lee cannot be a Gregor Blanco type hitter. He cannot be a Gregor Blanco type player. And if that is his ceiling, then yeah, you're going to start getting a lot of buyer's remorse on him in that sense. And him wearing down this year, I can pass that off as a, it's your first full year in the bigs and you need to kind of get calloused a little bit to the everyday grind of Major League Baseball here on this side of the Pacific Ocean. But as you talk about with Ramos, if we're still seeing this next year, if we're still seeing this from Jung-Hoo Lee next year, then it's, I think you're on big time red alert. This just isn't happening here. Again, this is where him missing last year just totally screws it all up.
I think he needs some of those pizza bagels on that slight frame of his. But something that Pavlovich said really resonates with me, and it's you can't necessarily dismiss it because at the end of the day, it's easy to do because what does that really mean? But he is a fan favorite. And I think part of the reason why you're seeing sort of the 35,000 is not exclusively because of Jung-Hoo Lee, but let's face facts. There's a huge Asian populace here in this mm-hmm. area. And if he's a guy that can, as he did in the beginning of the year with the Jung-Hooligans, is that what they call them?
The Hooligans.
The Hooligans. I mean, that's the sort of rapport that you're trying to build with your fan base. Like, that's when you've hit, when your team's playing well and your stars are somebody that's that well-liked in the community, that's gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that, while he certainly has to perform on the field, but I think that he gets more of more slack maybe than the average player because they're very aware of that connection and the connective tissue he has with the fan base. Yeah. And I don't think you can overlook that.
Well, I do think in one of the criticisms during the Farhan era, and this is a criticism of the A's for a long time, is just when teams don't have guys who you feel safe getting their jersey of, it's a great way to lose your fan base. Mm. And during, you know, the last 3 years of the Farhan era, it was tough finding a jersey that you wanted to wear. You know, it was obviously you had your usuals. You had, you know, the Brandons were represented. Buster will always have his jersey there. You had your past greats. But in 22 and 23 especially, the jersey I saw the most of on the concourse was like a Mike Yastrzemski. There were a lot of Yaz jerseys. And I like Yaz. I'm always going to have a lot of respect for Yaz. But that can't be your most favorite player for a fan base. And I look at this team now. I'm seeing Devers jerseys. I'm seeing Chapman jerseys. I'm seeing Webb jerseys. I'm seeing Adames jerseys. And yes, I am seeing a lot of Jung-Hoo Lee jerseys. In that sense, that is a good thing. You want players, like, it's good that there are players on this team that fans care about and root for. And that's why I think you still got people coming to the park. There is going to come a time, though, where that goodwill does run out. And as we run out of time here on this show, and that's going to be what needs to change. I'm still in with the big three, Devers, Chapman, and Adames. I know I said that I would amnesty Chapman earlier in the show. That was a hypothetical for a thought exercise I wanted to do there. So I'm still riding with those three. Ramos, tenuous. Jung-Hoo Lee, tenuous. They both need to start turning it around soon. Jung-Hoo a little bit more sooner than Ramos, I think, right now.
What are they doing right field?
I would say, you know what? Let's try Ramos there. See if that works out. And I guess we can end it on this. I am not against trying Bryce Eldridge out there.
Wow.
So maybe we tease that for next week. let's just leave it with a Bryce Eldridge thought, because I don't think he's coming up anytime soon, Giants fans. Dan, this was a lot of fun, man. Really glad that we could do this today. Glad to have you back. Steve and Zach, great stuff from you behind the glass. Callers, YouTubers, y'all were great today. Hopefully the Giants can take some of that and start putting some wins together. We'll be back next week with some more fun Giants talk. And don't forget, everybody, Dodgers suck.
This is Dan DeBone saying so long, everybody.
Later, dudes. Later, rip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.